Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear people, welcome back to Blood River Radio. My name is the same old name I've had for a while. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Some people call me Eddie the son of a bitch, and I think I like that better. But anyway, it's May Day, May 1st. We have Miss Cornelia on. And people, please pray for Miss Cornelia. She's not feeling well, and she's going to stay this one more segment. She has to go. She was sick all last week. I didn't know. I feel so bad about that. But in case we're going a little shoppy, please be patient with us because I have to guess when Miss Cornelia is talking some because keep in mind, she's coming from South Africa. She's out in the middle of a farm. Sometimes I can hear her. Sometimes I can't. If I seem like I'm speaking too much or off my balance a little bit, because I'm having about a good portion of the time I'm having to guess when she's talking and when she's not, what she's saying. But anyway, that's just part of live radio when you're talking all over the world, all over the globe in this high tech stuff. Our webmaster says, I won't tell you who he is. He says that the best equipment in the world when you're doing what we're doing, it's just still a long shot with them in the way. Anyway, Miss Cornelia is going to finish up this segment talking about stuff that's near and dear to her heart. So we're going to take it away. Go ahead, Miss Cornelia.
Thank you, sir. Near and dear to my heart, it would be to just speak to Americans and to ask them to really go into what they hear and not really just believe it. It's something quite interesting. Since working for the Cycliners, I've really seen to first world countries, which is obvious, and we're also very aware about other countries also being in the same boat than we are. But it doesn't just mean that you should give up and it doesn't mean that you should not try and would have an honorable fight for your people and for your nation. So yes, I would, something near and dear to my heart would be to motivate Americans to really dig deep and not just about South Africa, but about what's happening in America as well, because there's quite a lot happening in America that's gobsmacking and truly terrifying for the two Americans that really are very honorable people. And if you want to ask for support for the Cycliners, to go and read about them, to spread the word about them so that people can know exactly what's going on in South Africa and how they can support. To do support us. So yes, that's something very, very close to my heart. And yes, thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. And Miss Cornelia, before you go, I know you were with the Foreign Division, if I got that right. I think your immediate supervisor was the Simon Roach. Everybody who's listening to our show knows Simon Roach. I rode to Charlottesville with him back in August of 2017, August the 12th, I remember, and rode up there and back with him with other fellows, Mr. Rich Hamblin. Matt Goodwin, incidentally, Matt Goodwin's got married last Saturday. I hope he's enjoying his honeymoon. And Gene Andrews and myself, we went up there and back. So we all here in the United States, everybody in our movement, in the patriotic movement, we love Simon. But your immediate supervisor was Simon. Is he still your supervisor, or do you have another one since you went to a different branch? And if he's not, what are you doing exactly? What is your job right now, Miss Cornelia?
So yes, I was at the Foreign Division, and my supervisor was Mr. Sandra Roche. And then I really, really enjoyed working with the Foreign Division. But I really, it was a lot more important to me personally to be in youth because, yes, a lot of young people don't really know what's going on. Or well, they can see what's going on, but they feel quite hopeless. So, yes, that's something that I really want from the beginning. So I have another supervisor now at the moment, and I basically make a lot of very Afrikaans videos that get sent out to young people and get fed so that they can go and be inspired to know exactly how to handle what's going on and to also motivate them to be more ready for what's happening and to also understand how to treat the different situations occurring. And I had a personal conversation the other day with a young girl my age who actually started reading about trends and first aid training, etc. So it was wonderful. I was very thankful to have been able to motivate her. Even if it's just one person, it would be truly enough for me. But you also do try to inspire more. And she also told me how she really was so unsure and she didn't really know how to treat the situation at her university. She's in a university in Johannesburg. It's bullied a lot. And she's about to get married in a couple of months, but she's so afraid every day at the university because black students are threatening or raping her, and they have refused. We're going to come to your house, we're going to hurt you because your grandfather stole our land, and all of these things that are being used by groups such as the EFF or Black Land First, Black First Land First. So what I'm currently doing now is, although I do miss the foreign division quite a bit, but I had the opportunity to work there and get the experience to also be able to work with younger people now, because the younger people are the inspiration, and I don't want Africans and Boers to just go overseas where the grass does look greener, because I truly believe that here in our country with our people, our culture. So yes, that's how I can do it and where I'm at right now.
Well, Ms. Cornelia, during the break, me and Jay and you, we were discussing your location. And of course, you don't have to tell exactly where it is, but you were saying you right now are on a farm, located in a farm somewhere in South Africa. Is that right?
Yes. It's actually someone from my family, my sister. It's quite in nowhere, but it's really fun and it's really nice. And,
How much anxiety is there from being out there? Because I know of all the murders in South Africa, unless I'm wrong, the living out on the farms, and I'm not trying to scare you or anything. Lord knows I probably couldn't scare you any worse than you probably already are from being out there. What is the anxiety, your anxiety level about? And do you feel more unsafe on the farm? I mean, I guess that's a rhetorical question, but what is it like? And with the minute or so we have left, tell the audience what it's like to be a young, pretty 21-year-old white girl on a farm when the farm murders are off the scale. Go ahead, Ms. Cornelia, and what little time we have left.
Terribly enough, deathly calm. Yes, we had an attack on the farm when we were very young, where we had to hide. And my grandmother was at our farm, which is in the Free State, which is like the central part of South Africa. Being on a farm, it's everything incorporated in your schedule. You never leave a door open. you don't have a window that doesn't have irons in front of it to always be able to keep someone out. But you also know if someone wants to come in, they are going to come in. And that is a terrifying thought. It's when you drive home and you see tires being burned and you're alone in the car, you realize you have to turn around as quickly as possible. You don't have any moment to overreact in the wrong sense, because a moment can cost you something very costly. So it's terrible to admit, but you have odd calmness, this really calmness of it's just like time stands still for a moment. And you really just have to react very quickly. But it's something that you're quite taught from a young age, and something so, so normal to you that we don't know another way. Really done. I've always lived on a farm. I've never lived in the city. And we have had the attacks and break-ins and thefts and things like that. And it's terrible that it became so normal. But yes, it's the way that we live. It's really how we live. And it's not if they attack, it's really when they attack you or when they break into your house. But you are very careful. Us as girls, we don't on the farm at all. You never drive alone, really. If you do, you don't drive at night. You don't drive too
dear
early.
Dear Miss Cornelia, we've come to the end of this segment. Miss Cornelia, we've come to the end of the segment. I know you have to go because you're not feeling well, but God bless you. I will contact you again very soon. People, please pray for Miss Cornelia. We'll contact you again soon. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Miss Cornelia. You make me want to cry. Good night, dear.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
thank you, Mr. J. Mr. J just brought us back in his flawless manner. He's a wonderful guy. I tell you what, he's doing all kinds of wonderful stuff. And I guarantee you, people, God willing, I mean, we're going to get better. We're getting better. But I explained before we went a few segments ago some of the sound difficulties we had with Miss Cornelia. Miss Cornelia told me before the break, she said, before we brought her on today, she said, you might not want to bring me on because she said things are kind of tense where I am. I'm having a different location, you know, where I don't know if we can get out. I said, look, Miss Cornelia, come hell or high water, we're going to bring you on. And most of the time, I could not really hear her. I couldn't understand. It's something she'd come and go. Jay told about that, why, and I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but it's this tech stuff. But anyway, let me just kind of recap my feelings about South Africa. And I'm going to tell you before we get we're going to bring Mr. Lee Cochran on in a minute. But I hope I'm not boring you, but this station, this radio station, and I don't want to say I pray to God every day. Do not let me get an ego because God will bring you down. Lord knows I have been so low. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I never even thought about suicide. Some of the horrible conditions I've had in the past for physical trauma, mental trauma, et cetera, et cetera. But that in mind, we started this radio show years ago. I had a dream about starting this radio show. And the reason I started the show was because, first and foremost, the only reason was for South Africa. It was to bring to attention of the world the best we can, a little combat medic, trauma-certified RN on a shoestring budget to try to bring the message to as many fellow white Christians as possible. What's going on to our fellow white Christians in South Africa? Well, the dream came to fruition. We had to sell precious metals. We sold gold. We jumped through hoops. Keep in mind, I knew nothing about tech stuff. I know precious little about it now. We brought the show online October of 2018. So we're in our third year. But we pledged to bring to the world the situation in South Africa, the situation of hard genocide. And the hard genocide is going on there more than it is anywhere in the world right now. And you know why it's being carried out, people? For one reason, for race and religion. There are only one to two things in the world that matter of any political situation. That's race and religion. The white Christian people in the world are the most hated people on the face of the earth. And our enemy preys on weakness. They love the weak. Well, the weak in its terms would be South Africa as far as numbers. It's all on my website. We knew that South Africa, the people of South Africa, were being, I'm going to tell you what they were happening to them. The farm murders, the places where Miss Cornelia is right now, these blacks, they love to come in and they love to catch these people. There's always three, four, five of them to each person on the farms. They like to gang up on them, and they love to take the men. And here's some of the things they do. They like to disable the men. They like to take stuff like hammers, sledgehammers, and bust their joints open in their shoulders and bust their kneecaps. But they don't want to kill them yet. They don't. I want you to listen to this, people. This is what's going on. Don't close your ears. Listen to this. This is what goes on. Then they like to, right in front of the men that are disabled, they like to sodomize and rape the little boys and the little girls right in front of them. And they like to do the same thing to the men's wives. And if the man's not there, they like to do those nice things to the children in front of the mother. And then they'll take their time with these children. They'll cut their limbs off with chainsaws, with axes. They'll boil them in all kinds of liquids, like I said earlier. That's going on. Listen, people. That is an everyday occurrence in South Africa. Every stinking day of the year, it goes on there. Just like Miss Cornelia said, she's numb to it because she's grown up like that. And they're hated. They're absolutely, they hate you. And you know what, people? No nation, not a single nation in the world has come to their aid. Nobody, not even the stinking United States of America. You know why? Because our government, we don't have a government of the United States of America anymore for white people. We have a ZOG. We have a Zionist occupational government. We have a criminal government located in the banks of Sodom and the Potomac. A bunch of communist people, Luciferians in Washington, D.C., and they hate white people as much as anybody else. That's what, and I'm going to tell you something else, people. Getting off of South Africa right now, the same thing is coming to you. Miss Cornelia said it, and before Miss Cornelia said it, Simon Roach, was he was over here in 2017. We were in Tumpka, Alabama, listening to him speak, and again in Charlottesville. He said everything that he's witnessed in South Africa for the past 10 or 20 years, he saw it here in the United States. And you know what? If you look around and see, the only what's saving us right now, what keeps us from having the same fate that South Africa is having to go through, is we have a larger population of whites. Now, keep in mind, our population of whites, a lot of people say, I think we're about 52%. I think we're probably 40% at that much. But and about half of our population, they hate themselves. They're conservatives. They despise themselves. They hate you. They hate your family. They hate your grandparents. They hate everything about you. Witness what they've done. They've gone around all over the United States. And not only, you know, they started desecrating the graves. Right here in Memphis, Tennessee, they desecrated the graves of the great one and only General Nathan Bedford Forrest. And they went down and tore the hell out of Confederate Park. They've torn up every white memorial here in Memphis, all over the United States. They're constantly burning our statues. Like Dr. Michael Hill, the head honcho of the League of the South, said, first they coming after the linen. Then they're coming after the stone, and then they're coming after the flesh, baby. And they're coming after that flesh. And you know what? If you don't believe me, look what's happening in Portland, Oregon, in Seattle, Washington, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where a man, what's his name, Chauvin, a police officer, Chauvin, went before, well, not even a kangaroo trial, was convicted for no reason whatsoever. For you know that, and before that, they burnt these cities I just mentioned. These wonderful blacks and these stinking communist, self-hating cucks, they were right in there with the blacks, and they burnt those cities to the ground. And you know what? They're still not satisfied, people. The burning has not even started. I don't care if they get the Congress. I don't care if they stole the Congress and the Senate. By the way, speaking of that, just the other day, when this clown in office who's supposed to be the president, did you know him and Nancy Pelosi forbid? Use this hack, y'all. Hang on one second. Had to get a quick drink. Bauer, did you know 75% of the House, the Congress, and the Senate were not allowed to come in there to that speech that Biden gave to the Congress and the Senate? That's an out and out. I mean, it's tyranny. It's a dictatorship. When a senator and a congressman can't come in their own Capitol building, they can't even be in their office. That's kind of an aside. If that doesn't prove we're living under a dictatorship, nothing will. But guess who was there? The stinking, cowardice, backstabbing traitor, General Milley. General Milley. God, I'd love to meet him. And I'm giving him probably 30 years. I would love to meet that SOB. But he was in there. He's the one that helped overthrow the United States government. But keep in mind, I'm repeating myself, they burned down Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Ferguson, Missouri. It is coming to a place near you. And, you know, that's what started in South Africa. And we didn't raise a word. We haven't ordered a whimper in those people's defense. We haven't sent them $1. We haven't done anything doodly crap except say, well, it's what goes around comes around. They deserve it because they've had white privilege all these years. You know, people, I'm really emotional about that. And you should be. If you're not emotional about that, there's something wrong with you. Looks like I just got through with that rant. When we come back, we're going to go to Lee Cochran, and he's going to fill us in on the latest thing about the vaccine hoax. Be right back, people. Hold on.
Protecting your liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Defense Department said it canceled border wall construction projects that were being paid for with funds that were originally designed for the military. The announcement comes in the wake of an executive order that President Biden signed in February, ending a national emergency declaration at the border, which was put in place by former President Trump. Biden also signed an order in January halting all construction at the border. Trump declared the emergency in February 2019 in order to divert $600 million from the Treasury Department and $6.1 billion from the Defense Department to the Department of Homeland Security for the border wall construction. Due to more waves of COVID-19, the TSA has now extended its mask requirement for 4 months longer. Passengers on trains, planes, and buses will have to continue to wear masks through September 13th. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Army says it's disciplined 21 officers and non-commissioned soldiers, including the firing of 8 commanders after the death of Vanessa Guillen. She was killed in Fort Hood, Texas last year. They did acknowledge she was being sexually harassed. Federal investigators say that Guillen was working at an armory last April when Specialist Aaron Robinson, who actually wasn't sexually harassing her, beat her to death. He is believed to have later dismembered and burned her remains. They were found 2 months after she died. The investigation also found a series of missteps that allowed Robinson to escape. When he was confronted by police after her remains were found, he shot himself. The U.S. is restricting travel from India beginning on May 4th. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the policy comes due to extraordinarily high COVID-19 cases and multiple variants circulating in India. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, hello, dear Blood River Radio people. We're back again. We're getting ready to bring Lee Cochran up for a segment. We'll probably run out of time tonight, so in case Lee and Gene, in case Gene doesn't get time to cover everything he wants, we'll get Gene. We'll bring him on just the next segment after Lee. We'll get Gene to kind of set us up for our future show, well, probably next week if he doesn't have enough time, because he had to go, I explained earlier, he had to go to the Forest Home at Chapel Hill, Tennessee. So we'll bring Gene on right after this Lee gets through with his stuff on the vaccines. So go ahead, Lee, take off what you're doing, fella.
Oh, yeah, I just want to report there's been new side effects from the injection. A lot of women are bleeding from different places. They're getting periods. When the 80-year-old women are getting periods, and they're bleeding everywhere, and that has to do with their reproduction cycle, and they think it's coming from the vaccine. That's what they think, or it's coming from Wi-Fi. But cause this vaccine, we don't know what's in. Well, the injection, we don't know what's in it because the companies are not forced to tell people what's in it. So I would encourage everybody to do their homework. And I'm not going to take this injection of witch's brew. And you can get more information if you go to Infowars.com, the Alex Jones channel, Infowars.com, because they're saying that 60% of everybody in the hospital have already had a COVID vaccine. So that means that this injection, rather, is not working. And you can check.
Well, I heard it's up to 70%.
Oh, 70%,
I heard it's up to 70%, especially in the UK, up to about 70% of the people hospitalized over there with the so-called COVID, with other types of upper respiratory infections, have had the second round of the COVID vaccine. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, no, that's right. I'm glad, yeah. So they're having a lot. They're saying next fall, you know, in October, November, this is the fourth round, people will start having reactions, and you know it's attacking the woman's reproduction areas. So it's just another hellish mess. It's a sneak attack by Bill Gates and his cronies, and so it's going to be tough. I try to get more information from InfoWars and other sites like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, because really we need to have stop the vaccine makers, but I'm sure they're not going to do that because they don't want to admit that they've been wrong. Just like Donald Trump, he didn't do his homework and he sort of messed up and he's still backing them, but I guess that's in the past. But I just encourage everybody to do their homework and don't get this injection. It's going to do more harm than good, and it doesn't prevent you from transmitting, or doesn't prevent you from catching it. Okay,
it's true. That's on the CDC's website.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So really, I don't know why in the world. I know they're going to try to make people that don't want to get poisoned by the injection, they're going to say we're the troublemakers. No, the vaccine, the injection is the troublemaker. They're going to try to pin it on people that this is not vaccine hesitancy. This is in injection refusal because we've done our homework. I wish other people would.
Amen. Amen to that, Lee.
Yes, it's going to hurt everybody.
And, you know, so many of our people, Lee, and not to cut you off, but so many of our people, especially our young people, are just stupid. I don't know any other way to say it. They've been dumbed down, so they've been fed so much crap in this public school system, a.k.a. with the Frankfurt School, you know, from starting in the 30s. They're just stupid. They hate each other. But
and our medical establishment is totally corrupt, and this is a war crime against humanity.
Exactly. Hell, just like what's going on in South Africa. Well, Lee, I appreciate that, guy.
Okay.
Hey, we'll talk. Keep us up to date on that, and we'll get together and we'll get to lunch maybe tomorrow or in the middle of the week. Anyway, I guess I'll let you go and bring Gene on. We didn't know if Gene was going to be able to make it in time. But thank you so much, Lee. And we'll be meeting one day next week, hopefully, Philip. Thank you so much, Lee.
Okay, thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, Lee. Hey, you there, Gene?
Yes, sir.
Hey, fella.
Well, now, Eddie, you know very well that if our government says that the vaccine is good for us, we can trust the government. You know they never, ever lie to us.
Oh, no. So, Lord, no.
And no, ABC and CNN, if they're pushing it, I'm going to run as far away from that as I can. I think probably if I just sprinkled chicken blood around the house, that'll do the same thing. Isn't that right? Wasn't that what Obama's uncle, the witch doctor, used to do? You just sprinkle a little chicken blood around there, and that'll drive all the bad juju away from you. So that might be as good as whatever the government's pushing off on us.
Well, he must have believed it because when he had his mother-in-law inside the White House, they were doing that. I think they did everything inside the White House but build a mud hut. But they did it. They surely did that. I'm sure they. And that's one of their favorite things, Gene. People can laugh, but they love to take that chicken blood. And sprinkle it all over. You know, that's a big voodoo ritual. It most certainly is. It was, But, you know, Gene, I would have brought you. I tried to call you earlier tonight, but I couldn't.
Well,
get you.
Well, I just got in from down to Firestone. I've been working out there this weekend. We had a lot of rain this week, and the grass was up to the point we were about ready to cut it for hay. So trying to get caught up on that and just got in. So glad to help out for a couple of minutes anyway, if we can.
Yes, sir, no doubt about it. I was just going to set the table, and whatever we don't get through tonight, if you're hopefully you can come up next week because you're one of our right-hand guys. Or you, well, you know, you and me. And
yeah,
me,
we don't have any plans next weekend, so I think we can help you out there.
Fabulous, fabulous. You know, I had this plan. I tell you what I would like to do real soon. I'm going to tell the people what I'm going to do. I have this 34-page The Literature Report, The End of a Myth. I'll read this to the front page. I wouldn't take $10,000 for this. It says, an engineering report on the alleged execution, gas chambers at Auschwitz, Birkenau, and Majdanek, Poland. It's put out in, with a foreword by Dr. Robert Forrest. And that engineering speaking about was Dr. Fred Lutcher. Lutcher, and he took an entire team to those places I just mentioned, the so-called death camps over there back in the 90s when he was on the defense council. You know, the council had hired him. They spent a lot of money to go and do an in-depth study of these so-called death camps. Well, I have the report right here. He sent me. It's 34 pages long. It's a complete report. It'll take us two shows to cover this. I mean, 2 hours at least. Probably two shows, Gene, to cover this. You and we will cover this before too long. We don't have time to even get into it tonight. But this report was submitted to the Canadian government. The Canadian government rejected it, like we talked about in the show before, but they made the stupid mistake of putting Fred Lutcher on the stand, and he was able to get a lot of these myths dispelled. To the reporters from all over the world, we're listening to the Ernst Zundel's trial, and they let the stupid people in Canada, the judges, let the cat out of the bag. But we'll cover that in later shows. We had Miss Cornelia on from South Africa earlier, Gene, and I know what time we have left. I would like you, if you could, I won't say I'd like you because I know you want to do it. We talked about what's going on in South Africa now with the out-and-out white genocide by the blacks, and we talked about what's going on. We talked about, you know, you and I know about what went on when they sunk the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor, but mainly in World War I, World War II, you know, when the Yankees started, they're the ones that started, you told me, that the total war was really started by our brethren north of the base, by the, you know, the unions, by the Yankee army in Civil War. So with that, you were going to tie all that together. So take off, and if you will, Gene,
well,
tie that
started
Civil
this
War in.
Was 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were talking to the three gentlemen that were the crew members of the USS Liberty, the survivors of that, a real Holocaust that the U.S. government put on our own seamen, trying to kill 294 sailors and Marines on a ship and sink it and take down the entire crew with it so there were no survivors, and then they could come up with this phony story that that ship was attacked by Egypt and we had an excuse to attack Egypt during the Egyptian-Israeli war in 1967. So we'll pick it up after the break.
There's the music, Gene. Don't go back, right? I don't know if you can hear the music or not. People, we'll be right back after this break. Gene's going to take up where he left off.
War for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com.
Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, welcome back to May Day. It is May Day today, the 1st of May, the great holiday for our communist brethren. But before we go back to Gene, I'm talking to Gene at the same time, and Gene's going to help me with this. Not only are we going to go through this 34-page report, the Lucha Report, which is put together, the end of a myth, which put together by engineers, architects, chemists, chemical, the big chemical firm involved in analyzing the floor samples, wall samples, basement samples, soil samples, GPS measurements, of blueprints of the so-called crematorium and stuff. We're going to go through that. And we're going to focus on what I call the reverse Holocaust. And we're going to talk about the Civil War bankers, the bankers of the First World War, and the Bauflower Declaration of November 2nd, 1917, we're going to talk about the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine, which was about the Bauflower Declaration was ramrodded through Jewish money. Me and Gene are going to cover in the next so many shows. It's going to take us probably 2 or 3 shows to do it. Through Rothschild Jewish money, they were able to bribe the British government to stay in World War One when the British government were at the peace table with the Germans, and also a side effect of the Balfour Declaration was they brought the United States in and killed thousands and thousands and thousands of American boys to get that wonderful Jewish homeland. You know, you can't have a Christian homeland, but you can by God have a Jewish homeland. We're going to talk about how this Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour kowtowed to the trillionaire Rothschild. And we're also going to talk about this wonderful American, Henry Morgenthau, with the Morgenthau Plan, and how he wanted to go in. Also with Theodore Kaufman, how they wanted to go in, and they advocated exterminating the entire German population through sterilizing them, you know. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the carpet bombing in Germany, the all-out rape of the entire German. We're going to talk about the clergy plan. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to take this so-called Holocaust hoax, and we're going to ram it down our enemies' throats. And if our people are listening, and I know one guy's listening tonight, a Jewish descent, he told me, if he's got the courage, if he's got the intellectual courage to face up to the truth and admit that he's been wrong, and he found it out right now, he's not going to use Holocaust crap as a club me over the head, because I'll take that club and beat their head off with it, rhetorically speaking, of course. Anyway, Gene, that's what I hope we can get to cover, me and you. It's probably going to take us 2 or 3 weeks to do this, my brother. But anyway, go ahead, take off on what you take up where you was before we went to the break, Gene, if you don't mind. Well, I hope I didn't interrupt you too bad.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's information that needs to be put out there, because you never get this on the network news. You never get it on the lamestream media and the fake news media. They censor all of this, and the internet companies censor all this too. They won't allow it to be out there because it doesn't fit the accepted version of what happened during World War II. And so many, as you mentioned, so many of these scientists have gone back to these so-called death camp sites and taken soil samples and done the research, and it disproves all of this hoax business. And yet they throw people in jail in Germany and Canada and places like that for speaking the truth. Now, that tells you right there that the whole hoax is a lie. If you have to throw people in jail for telling the truth, you know the story that you're putting out there has to be a lie. You don't have to put people, you know, the truth can stand on its own two feet. A lie needs to be covered up. And you keep telling this lie over and over and over again. It's supposed to be accepted as the truth, but what was it Dr. Goebbels said? A lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. So if you keep repeating this false information long enough with enough threats, most people will knuckle under to it and have all of these seminars on the whole hoax and all of this, the Holocaust and all of this stuff like that. And like you said, the people that are coming out of these indoctrination centers that used to be colleges and universities and high schools and even private schools are so brainwashed that they can't even do critical thinking and look at facts and information and say, well, you know, this argument has more facts than this argument over here. So I'm going to believe this argument with the facts, and I'm not going to take these threats and of misinformation and propaganda and believe that. That doesn't happen anymore in this country. There's so much of that going on today from the government, from the news media, from the IT companies. It's really depressing to see what kind of a third world dictatorship we're actually living in. And it's refreshing to see people that have scientific evidence that are willing to put their careers on the line and sometimes even their physical well-being and their life on the line to put that information out there. And
you've got that,
going
right,
back
Gene,
to what we were talking about history, there have been so many lies in the U.S. government since the Lincoln administration took over. I think that was the downfall of our constitutional republic. And so many conservatives, so many so-called Republicans, like Mark Levin on CNN and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh when he was broadcasting, they talk about what a great president Lincoln was, and he saved the Union. He saved the Union. And my argument is, no, he destroyed the Union. He destroyed our constitutional republic and replaced it with a socialist dictatorship. And all of these conservatives that argue against what's going on in Washington today and the past several administrations that we've had before Mr. Trump came into office, the person that they forget to blame for all of this is Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he started it and started a dictatorship. And I was watching Tucker Carlson the other night, and he was talking about how they're going to, when they raided Rudy Giuliani's office and seizing documents and trying to shut down anybody trying to get out the truth, and said and he went back to World War One, those sedition laws that Woodrow Wilson used to jail people that criticized our entry into World War One. He said, this is the first time it happened in this country. No, I'm sorry, Tucker, you don't know your history. The first time it happened in this country was during the Lincoln administration. There were over 30,000 people in the North that were jailed, not because they were aiding the South and acting as fifth columnists in the North and attacking armories or military bases or anything like that. They simply spoke out against the war, and then they were thrown in jail for it, and they never pressed charges against them. They did not follow the writ of habeas corpus. These people were thrown in jail with no cause or no charges pressed against them, and just to shut them up. And there were over 200 newspapers and periodicals in the North that were shut down. There was not one single newspaper in the South that was shut down. And some of them were pretty brutal in their criticism of Confederate President Jefferson Davis, and they even attacked his wife at times as well. But they never shut those papers down. The Richmond Examiner and the Charleston Mercury, they weren't real friendly towards President Davis, but he didn't have them shut down like Lincoln did in the North. So, and then the real tragedy of the South not winning our war for independence was not so much that the South lost, although that's bad enough. The real tragedy was that the centralized government in the North won, and they thought that because they won, then everything they were doing was right. The all-powerful office of the president, the dictatorship from Washington, the power of the money state and the big bankers, they thought this is the way the country needs to be run, and that's the way it's taken off from there, and gets worse and worse as each administration comes in, Democrat or Republican. The Republicans always talk about, you know, they're going to change this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And they don't seem to mind having big government as long as they're running it. And what they don't understand is when they put in like Ronald Reagan with these new cabinet departments and things like that, they don't go away when the so-called conservative Republican finishes out their second term in office. They stay, and then the Democrats come in and the liberal Democrats and just add on to it, make it bigger and bigger. So I really believe that the end of the American empire began with the election of Abraham Lincoln, and it's getting worse. And what we've seen the first 100 days of Senile Joe and Kamala Harris and all that crew that are up there in Washington now, it's just another part of the downward spiral of the what used to be an American republic. So,
you know, Gene, that system that you talked about that was put in at the end of the American Civil War by the North, that system, would you say that system has pretty much been, through American power, military power, and economic power, those system has been pretty much spread all over the West anyway? You know,
yeah.
The United Kingdom, France, Germany, anywhere we have these Jewish Zionist central bankers, they have pretty much the same, for all practical purposes, the same system. Is that right, Gene? It explained
well,
from
money talks, and they know how to control these countries with the threat of pulling the financial backing out of the country. And the same thing, World War One, the British and the French were going to lose a tremendous amount of money if World War One ended in a true armistice. And an armistice is a ceasefire. An armistice is not a surrender. And for a long time, we called November 11th Armistice Day instead of Veterans Day. And that's what the Germans thought they were signing, was an armistice or a ceasefire to negotiate the end of the war. And then the British put the blockade around Germany and said, no, 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 you surrendered. And they would not allow food or medicine or anything into Germany. And there were hundreds of thousands of German civilians that died of starvation after the war until finally Germany had to capitulate and sign the Versailles Treaty, which was, you know, it was a punitive measure designed to wreck Germany and destroy Germany as an equal economic power on the European continent. And a lot of people say that World War II was started by the signing of the Versailles Treaty and the terms that were given to Germany after that. So, you know, it's money every time. You look behind what happened. And going back to our war for Southern independence, Lincoln said the Southern states could stay out of the Union. They would not interfere with slavery, which wasn't our main issue. We just wanted to get away from the Yankee government. And they didn't have to come back into the Union if they would pay their taxes to the United States government. Now, who in the world would ever agree to a deal like that? Oh, yeah, you can have your country, but you've got to pay taxes to this other country. So
that's right, Gene. That's right. Not to interrupt you, but Lincoln told them, we don't give a damn about those slaves. You can have your stinking slaves. We don't care.
Yeah.
We can have the slavery. He was going to put forth an amendment to Congress so the South could keep their slaves as long as they would stay in the Union. Am I right there, Gene?
Absolutely. The Corn Amendment, CORWIN. He was a representative from Ohio, and that passed the U.S. Congress.
Well, you know what, Gene? We're just giving the people, I'm sorry you had to come on late, but you know what? We've given the people a taste of what we're going to cover in the next several shows, you and me. We're going to cover all this stuff we talked about. We're going to cover the so-called Hola Hoax. We're going to do a scientific report on that, and we're going to talk about everything Gene talked about. We're going to start from the North, the Civil War, the same people started the Civil War are punishing the white people, Christian people worldwide. Thank you, Gene, for coming on tonight. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Lee. People, tune in same time, same place next week, the 8th. We're going to hit the ground running. Good night, everybody. Good night, Gene.